today on ProWrestling.net's member page. .net members are going to be listening to Jason Powell and Jim Ross sit down, talk about the news and notes of the week, and a little bit more on the .net weekly audio show. Often this show involves first run news you're not going to hear anywhere else. And if you want to hear it, if you want to become a ProWrestling.net member and get access to that Jim Ross show, it's easy to do. Go to ProWrestling.net, click on the membership link on the right-hand side of the page, and for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or $7.50 if you just want to get the membership for a month, check it out, see what we're about around WrestleMania time. We would really appreciate you doing so. Thank you very much. And of course, rate, review us on iTunes, and all of that goodness as well. And without further ado, here's the show. This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, the outrageous statements in the Undertaker vs. Shane McMahon hype video and Seven Men, One Ladder. We complain about the Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania. So Jake, if I were to ask you who, up to this point, Undertaker's greatest WrestleMania opponent is, who would you say?
You know, you'd have to go with Shane McMahon. No, honest to God, that blew me away. You
know? That was amazing. Like, they were drinking, like, the same Kool-Aid that I've been drinking about Shane McMahon, apparently. Like, Shawn Michaels going, I mean, it's Hell in a Cell, so you kind of have to give a little bit of an advantage to Undertaker. Like, yeah, you do. It's Shane McMahon. He falls off of things. That's his thing, and I love him for it. Amazing. It well, was like, amazing.
Know, it's like, yeah, I mean, Undertaker, you know, they show all this footage of him, like, you know, practically murdering people in the cell. And then, you know, they cut to somebody who has to, like, do the Shane McMahon like testimonial, and it's like Edge talking about, like, well, you know, Shane does old man MMA, so you can't really count him. It's like, come on, guys, really? Like, you really had to reach into the well to come up with some of this stuff. And then you got, you know, Vince going out there and putting the cherry on top of everything by talking about how, you know, despite the fact that Lesnar was just Undertaker's opponent a couple of years ago, that Shane McMahon is his most formidable challenge ever at Wrestle. It's just like, come on, man. Like, you can't really honestly believe any of this. It's like George Costanza. Like, it's not a lie if you believe it. And I think that's where Vince McMahon is at this point.
I'll say this. I will give them credit for putting together a video package to make Shane versus Undertaker seem exciting. Because the video package here captured a little bit of what Shane versus Undertaker had going for it before all of the weird promos kind of tried to ruin Shane versus Undertaker. But at the same time, come on, like, get your stuff together where you're not relying on this match to sell WrestleMania. And I know WWE had their stuff together. They had a great card, really. I mean, I think we would be talking completely differently. Probably just feel like things are a little bit stale at this point and looking forward to WrestleMania being over. If we were getting Undertaker and Cena and Rollins and Triple H and Roman and Brock, like, we'd be like, yeah, but we've known this card for too long. Now it's just like, yeah, can we get to it? I just want to see the train wreck that's going to happen. I just want to get that through. This whole WrestleMania build has been severely underwhelming, aside from the one segment where Shane McMahon returned. That's been the only real hook for WrestleMania this year, and it's really just that one segment, because the other Shane segments have not been good.
Well, and they, you know, that segment that really teased the McMahon family drama has essentially been completely washed away at this point. Like, they haven't really followed up on, you know, the fact that, you know, what Shane is going to do when he takes over Raw. They haven't really followed up on his conflict with Stephanie, whether it's been real life or, you know, or fabricated. I mean, she had that actually pretty good promo where she tore Shane to shreds, but they haven't interacted with each other on screen since that initial encounter. And, you know, they don't really seem to have any idea what was going to be in that lockbox, because that hasn't really been brought up again. And yeah, I think they would have had better luck, you know, like we talked about last week, you know, giving Shane, you know, a surrogate to fight for him, or, you know, instead of trying to make Shane stronger, they could have, you know, tried to seed some doubt as to whether or not the Undertaker still had it, because, you know, he was, you know, beaten down a couple of years ago at WrestleMania by Brock Lesnar, and, you know, he had that Lesnar challenge that, you know, that further weakened him. Is he still going to be able to keep it up? You know, is he still have it? Is he still dangerous? You know, that I think there's more intrigue with, you know, the Undertaker and when he's going to call it quits than there is with, you know, trying to make Shane, who's, you know, taken some Muay Thai and MMA kickboxing classes, you know, seem like he's a legitimate challenger. I think you're really straining credibility even more than you normally are with, you know, the Undertaker being some kind of semi supernatural undead warrior and the boss's son. Like, I mean, you're making it even worse by trying to make it seem like it's some kind of legit fight.
Yeah, you are really, really stretching the boundaries of suspension of disbelief, and you're also just stretching what WWE can do with so little story to tell. And maybe that's one of the issues. There isn't a large story to tell here. Shane McMahon came back, a non sequitur of a match with Undertaker was made, and the longer they keep exploring it and the more they dive into it, the more absurd and not good it seems. Where that first night, it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It'll be fun, whatever. Now WWE has forced us to think about it. They've forced us to go into it. And I think people are, it may even be setting them up for disappointment. And I can't believe I'm about to say this. I worry that we're going to be, that we're being set up for disappointment in what Shane actually ends up doing, because I don't think Shane is going to kill himself. I don't think Shane is jumping off the Jumbotron at AT&T Stadium. You know, there are so many stunts that Shane might have done 10 years ago that I don't think he's really capable of now. So I'm curious to see what that ends up being too. My answer for Undertaker's greatest opponent would be Shawn Michaels up to this point, but man, once Shane McMahon gets in there with him, who knows who it could be?
Yeah, that is the open question, isn't it? Can Shane McMahon finally exceed the work of Shawn Michaels? That's the thing we've all been wondering.
He's beat Shawn Michaels before.
I wish they didn't have so many of you know, the other opponents in Taker's career. You know, they had Edge, they had Mick Foley, they had Shawn Michaels, you know, all the guys that he's been in Hell in a Cells with before, aside from Lesnar, talking about, you know, being in the ring with the Undertaker in that environment. And it almost made you like, well, why aren't I seeing him in the ring with another guy who can actually go at that level? You know, it just seems like they're trying to add credibility to Shane, but in a sense, they continue to undermine, you know, the entire premise of the match. You know, I think they're walking a very thin line, and I hope they have something magical and inspiring planned for next week, or at least something that sort of brings this thing back to ground level, where we see, you know, what Shane's plans are for Raw if he wins. Maybe him, you know, playing a little bit of politics backstage to try to get people to, you know, potentially interfere on his behalf. Something that at least makes you think like Shane doesn't actually believe that he's going to go in there and win a match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania and Hell in a Cell, because he should be sincerely doubting his own ability at this point. I mean, he hasn't been in the ring in 10 years, and who knows what he's been doing, you know, away from WWE to keep in shape and all that other stuff. I mean, it hasn't really been discussed, and I think they just took the wrong angle in promoting this from a lot of, you know, different perspectives. I think, you know, they probably threw this together last minute because it became, you know, kind of a known fact out there that John Cena wasn't going to be available, and this is what they came up with on short notice. It just feels really rushed to me.
It does. The Undertaker stipulation that Vince McMahon just put on it also seems a little rushed and really haphazard. Again, it seems like something that wasn't fully thought out, because the stipulation is, if Undertaker doesn't win, doesn't beat Shane at WrestleMania, it will be Undertaker's last WrestleMania. Well, could be anyways. Also, how does Vince enforce that if he's not the guy in charge? Couldn't Shane the next night just go, oh, and Undertaker, totes reinstated two WrestleManias. Do whatever you want. Like, you'd think there would be something there. I kind of took it as, I mean, they're even mentioning it as potentially Undertaker's last WrestleMania to me is kind of a big deal, and it shouldn't just be thrown out there the way they are throwing it out there. But I've mentioned before that I think John Cena and Undertaker set up their match very early in advance. What if Undertaker says, last night wasn't the end, but I've only got one more in me, after he loses to Shane? John Cena, you cost me that match. I want to face you next year. At the same time, what if they actually do that match at SummerSlam or something like that?
Well, that's why I thought they put that wiggle room in there. Like, they said it was his last WrestleMania. They didn't say it was his last match. And so, you know, they offer themselves, you know, a little bit of leeway there. And maybe this was the Undertaker's planned last match. And if he could go out with Cena, then he would call it a career. And because Cena was hurt and they kind of put this in motion as a quick Band-Aid for WrestleMania, and Taker being the company guy that he is, probably wouldn't want to leave Vince hanging. He probably, you know, said that, hey, I'll work WrestleMania, and then, you know, when Cena's healthy, we can have my last match at SummerSlam. And maybe that's a decent compromise, because it seems like that's going to be a bigger and better show anyway.
Yeah, it's very possible that Undertaker just doesn't want to stick around all year, is fine going out at this WrestleMania and doing whatever. And then he knows, hey, I've got John Cena coming up at SummerSlam, and we can have that epic final match here. Could be cool, whatever it ends up being.
It's poetic in a sense to go out at WrestleMania. I think, yeah. You know, it definitely adds something, but I think any feud on any match, on any show, that's the Undertaker's last match is a big deal, no matter where it is. And how they tell that story will be important. If they tell it as well going into SummerSlam as they would have going into WrestleMania, then I don't think there's anything to fear from not having your last match on a WrestleMania show.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. And if Undertaker does not, that was a long pause for me to get the words. Wow. If Undertaker does not want to hang around for a year, if he just says, I'm not in the shape I want to be in to do it, I got up for this one last run, this is what I've got. Yeah, put it off to SummerSlam. Put it off whenever until you can promote something as Undertaker's last match, but get out there and promote it, obviously, and make it seem like the biggest thing ever. And they did a good job last year with SummerSlam of making it seem like a really, really big deal. Jake wanted to touch on, prior to this show ending, the 7-man ladder match. So, Jake, how absurd was it that Kevin Owens goes, those three guys are formidable opponents, I don't want them to fight each other, here are three losers, and by the end of the segment it's, hey, Kevin, you have to defend against the losers and the formidable guys? What a weird and honestly bad way to get to the match, because there are three guys in that match who aren't bad wrestlers. Stardust, Zack Ryder, and Sin Cara don't suck. They are not bad wrestlers, they're fine, but those characters getting title shots in a ladder match at WrestleMania? Why? There are guys who don't deserve it getting it, and you kind of make it harder on the deserving wrestlers in Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who do deserve it. And, I mean, Miz to an extent, and Dolph Ziggler to an extent as well, who do deserve that bit of spotlight. You make that spotlight a lot harder to come by.
Yeah, I don't really get it either. I think, you know, labeling them as also-rans before the match and then giving them a title shot, you know, it's kind of one of those raises-your-eyebrow kind of moments of silliness. I mean, I get why they need to round out, you know, a ladder match. I think they want, you know, enough guys in the ring so that they can have that crazy spot fest, nonstop mayhem type of match. And I don't know if they have, you know, enough guys on the roster to fill it out with people that are meaningful. And so I think they're just kind of getting into the point where they have to add mid-card guys who don't otherwise mean a whole lot in situations that, you know, seem to be a level above their, you know, their normal, you know, their normal slot in order to fill out WrestleMania. And I think that's just where they are. You know, from a story perspective, it came across terribly, but I think they're just in scramble mode, and this is what we ended up with.
It does seem that way, and we lost Neville, of course. They are just losing wrestlers right and left. Bray Wyatt is very limited, and it looks like Luke Harper now is down with a knee injury of some sort. So maybe this is what we're going to get for the time being, but I keep going, why don't you tell compelling stories with these guys instead of just have them hang out? You somehow, I mean, to me, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is one of the easiest stories to tell that WWE has right now, but they aren't telling the story really at all. They aren't letting you get to know why you like Sammy, why you don't like Kevin, and why you want to see them fight. And that really, really bugs me. And hopefully they get better about it, because they should not suck at things.
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression, just looking at this WrestleMania card, now that it's filling out, that it'll probably be punch above its weight in terms of match quality, just based on looking at it on paper. But the storylines are all sort of a letdown, and so it's hard to get really excited about it. I think it'll end up being a fine show in terms of, you know, being entertaining watching it, you know, in person. But I'm not sure if you're the type that really likes to get invested in storylines, and generally stadium shows are where you blow off major storylines. This has to be a huge letdown of a WrestleMania. And I think the injury bug that's been biting WWE for, you know, going on the last 6-8 months has just put them in a serious depletion scenario that I don't think anybody could have predicted, you know, when we were at SummerSlam last year.
Yeah, and that is a massive part of it, and it shouldn't be understated, but at the same time, good bookers know how to pivot, and they know how to make do in situations like what WWE is in right now, and they aren't pivoting, they aren't making do, they aren't doing well with it. So, yeah. On that exciting and happy note, we'll wrap up for today. Thank you, Jake, for joining me, and thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!